I'd like to call the May 6th Economic Development, Planning, Education, Employment, Arts, and Agriculture Committee meeting to order. Deputy Clerk Mahler, can you please call the roll?
Chair Sperry.
I am here.
Deputy Chair Litz.
Here.
Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Corcoran.
Here.
Legislator Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Stewart. Legislator Wall.
Here.
You have 6 members present, 1 absent.
Wonderful. Legislator Litz, would you like to lead us?
Yes, I would be honored to.
I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. First item on the agenda is approval of the April 1st regular meeting minutes.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. The next item on the agenda is the presentation of the SUNY Ulster County Community College 2025 to 2026 budget with Dr. Buckley and Michael. I'm assuming Michael's going to be giving the presentation. Dr. Buckley is without voice this evening.
Oh, thank you very much. Let the week begin, laryngitis. Michael and I usually tag team this presentation, so I may squeak in, but I'm very grateful that he's willing to take the lead today and to spare all of you from this lovely
So I would highlight the screen, and of course this is interactive, so please stop, ask questions whenever you do see fit. So this is kind of the timeline of what the normal budget is. We've gone to our Board of Trustees in March and April, as well as had town talks, presented the budget to our community as well. We're in the process right now of going to the county, which is May and June. Then it gets submitted to SUNY in July and August. So overall, for our budgeted enrollment for next year, we are budgeting 1,667 students. This is up from last budget, which was 1,547. So this represents about 120 additional FTEs. And the way we actually did this is we looked at our actual fall 2024 enrollment, as well as like really made a projection of spring 25, because when we were developing the budget, those numbers weren't finalized. And we saw from fall 23 to fall 24, a 6.3% growth in enrollment for the fall. And then for this past spring to 24 to spring of 25, we actually saw a 7.4% increase in enrollment. So we took those numbers and then made a conservative of adjustment to of a growth increase of 3%, even though our stretch goal is actually more. But for me on my budget and finance side, a little bit more conservative. But we're in a very good trend right now. As part of our normal budget, 78% of our costs are actually personnel costs. This budget includes contractual increases from the different bargaining units that have their rates set currently, as well as 13 new positions across the campus, which 5 of them include faculty positions to address the growing enrollment. So we also have additional increases of costs between different benefits, utilities, and liability insurance. Our benefits are increasing, but what you'll actually see in here is our Nice Ship Empire plan. We actually had a 0% renewal from the state, so the Empire plan did not go up. Some of our other plans did go up, but the majority of our plan is actually Nice Ship. So that was actually a very nice surprise when we, in years past, have seen very big increases. So because of that, well, we have a deficit for this year resulting from benefits in our budget, but then we also have one where for next year, we actually budgeted benefits to go down. And other thing to note as well, we also increased our vacancy variance in here from 125,000 to 300,000, which is more based on actuals. We've all had trouble hiring, but to try and give a more accurate number. So just to kind of try and explain the New York State side of how the funding model works, us as well as most other colleges as well as schools operate on the floor method right now since COVID enrollment drastically decreased, but we've actually been seeing an increase. Currently, our floor is 1997, so we're actually about 330 FTEs below that floor. So like in a few years, we're actually going to be really talking about and surpassing that floor, which is not any type of conversation I've actually experienced at another community college of the talks they're actually having. So we really are seeing great growth. The last bullet point in here is actually one to note as well. In the governor's proposed budget, community college funding remained flat, while state-operated campuses saw a $113 million increase in the proposed budget. So overall, for our tuition, in this budget that's proposed, we are proposing a $100 per semester, $8 per credit. So that's $200 for the entire year for full-time students and $8 per credit for the part-time. This is still below the Pell Grant, which a lot of our students get, as well as for last year during this time, our tuition rates were $5,406 for the state average, and then ours was just slightly above that, which includes a lot of the community colleges that are actually up north. So what I actually did here is I laid out what the tuition for all the local community colleges were for the last year. This actually averages out, and at the bottom, it's a state average of the $5,406, where locally, amongst all those colleges, when you remove us, it's actually $5,486. So we're actually just below that amount, right in the middle of everyone. Now, but all of our sizes are way different. So when you actually look at community colleges that are near our size, we're actually slightly above what the average is of them, which is $5,347. But you can see that a lot of these colleges are actually more up north and the costs are much, much different. So tuition revenue for this coming year, I'm budgeting $8.5 million. This is up from last year of $7.8 million. Now, there's two components to this. One, we talked about the price increase, which of the $759,000 increase, $329,000 of that is related to the tuition increase. Enrollment accounts for $430,000 of that increase. So these next two slides were actually an interesting slide that I included in the executive summary. But what I actually did here, so this is state funding for the different local community colleges based on headcount and FTE, which there's different calculations of how those are calculated, so that's why it doesn't go hand in hand when you actually do it. In this graph, red means that Ulster is receiving less money from the state than the other community colleges. So when you actually look at us all the way on the left, most of them from the state, we actually receive less, and that is because of when the big drop in everyone's enrollment hit, they were at a higher level, saw a sharper decrease, and now we're all trying to make our way back up to where we were. So that's kind of the reason for that. But when you really look at the FTEs of the difference, even like someone like Adirondack, who is a similar size to us, gets $500 almost more per FTE from the state, and other schools get a lot more than us. So now on the county side, when you flip this ratio, actually green right now means that we are receiving less money than those other, that the county is paying less money. So that green is good on both of them. So overall for the different community colleges, we currently are receiving less money for FTE and as well as headcount than the other ones. And a lot of them you'll see like different funding models too, of like some have much higher states so the counties are less and vice versa, and how it all kind of comes into play. So included in this proposed budget, there is a request to increase the county support, the what is known as the maintenance of effort, the MOE, of 3%, which comes out to $213,000. Currently, the county support is $7.1 million. So this would bring the overall ask to $7.3 million. But when you really look at it holistically of what the county is actually contributing to the college, there's other items in here that go into that. So we pay rent at KCSU is in here for $244,000. It's just below that. That actually comes back to the county, which was set up by paying off the debt payments for the bonding of that building, which the bonds have ran out. So now we are continuing going to pay rent for that, which actually, when you look at it, it's a decrease, this overall budget, to the county's obligation by $30,000. So.
And do you want to mention the first?
Oh, yes. Sorry. And why that's also important to us, too, because that rent that is paid to the county is actually partially funded by the state. The state has an allocation set for rental expenditures where all the community colleges put all their rents together, submit their amount for it, and then they give everyone a percentage up to 50% of what your costs are. Currently, the allocation isn't finalized for next year, but for this past year, we had a 42% allocation that the state was paying 42% of the rent to the county. So, and then as we try and develop other programs, and one program that we is included in the budget but is at cost because we're trying to be conservative of its implementation, is SNAP ENT, which has never been done in New York State. It has been done in other states, but it's a federal program where we can actually get money back for money we expersed out that is actually goes back years and years and decades of what this program actually is. It's a workforce type program. So, but using that, rent is one of the eligible costs as well, though it has to be prorated based on programmatic side of it as well. So we're exploring all different types of methods of revenue to bring into the college. Overall, this is showing our revenue and expenses, and I do apologize on not only this graph, but all the graphs. It's always a hard thing to show a graph, because where do you have the cutoff? Because you don't do it enough, and it's too close together, or you do it too far, and then they look like the same number. So it is not meant to mislead at all. So when you look at our past 3 years, inclusive of next year, our fund deficit has been decreasing in what we have been proposing. 2 years ago, it was 876, last year, 774, this year, $482,000. Now, this does change, and you'll notice that when you see our annual audit, because there's still, even though we're proposing for this, we don't just drop the budget and forget about it and work the next year. We're still working very hard to bring in grants as well as other opportunities too. And a lot of times the grants will cover our existing expenses. So a lot of times it reduces our just increases revenue, but our expenses stay the same. So you'll see a big difference of our net surplus at the bottom. So. Right now, at my last board meeting, I presented to our Board of Trustees where I actually think we're going to end the year for 2024-25, which right now is about $194,000 that I think we're going to end the year based on different stuff. Salary is always the hardest thing with the summer salaries are so much different. So. Looking at our different revenue lines, we already talked about the tuition and the county contribution. The one thing to notice is the charges to other counties. We're budgeting, and this was done earlier in the year, an $85,000 increase. But I actually think we're going to end this year at about $1,047,000, which is inclusive of us canceling the classes at the Shuangun Prison for the spring, which would have actually been another about $40,000. So we're actually doing a lot better in charges to outside counties. So this number is definitely a little bit more conservative, but it is a very hard number to project from year to year. But we're really doing a good job to continually to increase that line. The other thing to note is other revenue is a $600,000 increase. This is one of the differences we've changed with our methodology of the bookstore. The bookstore is still on campus, but we're doing a different program called UStack. So this is where students can opt out of the program if they don't wish to do it and it doesn't make financial sense to them. But every student would be charged $28 per credit, and then all their books are paid for and inclusive of their tuition. So this revenue comes into the college, and then you'll see a similar expense leaving it for us making the payment to Barnes & Noble. But again, it's the student's choice to really analyze, this semester I have one book, I'm going to opt out, or this semester I have nine books, so I'm going to get it at a much reduced price. So overall for revenue, we're at $26.8 million overall.
Why did the federal operating funds jump up so much?
Thank you. So that is our what we're currently projecting for SNAP ENT.
Okay.
So this is still a conservative estimate. We are piloting the program for next year, but we have a baseline of how many students we're going to put into it before we do it campus-wide. Currently, that increase is covering a few different positions that we added in order to make sure we track, which one of them is, I would love to say, a grant accountant, because and that's like you need that piece to make sure you're keeping track of all the expenses. So it's complicated. So I'm very happy I had the support for that. So thank you. Overall for expenditures, we have an increase of salary by the $1 million, which is everything we talked about, the contractual increases, which is about 3%, as well as the new positions. And I say like 3% because it depends on what grade and union and everything like that. So the benefits, you'll see a decrease of just under $300,000, which is mainly due to the NYSHIP rate not increasing. The majority of the year, I can keep it at the 0% increase, and then I budgeted an increase for the final part of our fiscal year. So. As well as, like, this is one of the years, too, where we've had a large pool of new hires. So between that and analyzing all of our current employees, like, with 13 new hires, I can really look at it and say not all 13 people are just going to take family, where sometimes you do have to be more conservative when you have one or two new hires. But with this type of pool, we can be a little bit more analytical in it, what people normally take, as well as what level the position is as well. So overall expenses are $27.6 million. So the other last thing I would like to note too in here is contractual. It's just one thing to note is utilities are in here, which is a very hard thing to project. Every penny that the rate goes up cost the college $40,000, just to put that in perspective. So utility tracking is one thing we do and follow all the prices very closely because it has a big effect. So overall, this is all of it laid out together of a budget deficit of $482,000. And when you look at our fund balance overall, we ended August 31st, $24 million. I like to take 2.5 month percentage, so we have a fund balance draw of the after available for the draw of the $1.7 million. So But this is something that, like, we're very caution up, like, because there's so many things that can affect us. Like, NYSHA, we don't have, like the say for that, as well as, like, everything that is happening with, like, our grants. We're seeing grants, like, that have routinely been passed and verified quick. They're being held, and a lot of uncertainty, like, for that. So it's definitely something we're looking at closely. So thank you guys very much. I'm sorry, I just kind of just kept going and there wasn't stopping points really, but if anyone has any questions, I would be happy to.
Do we have any questions on the committee? Go ahead, the legislator to it.
I've been reading about financial resilience plans, also known as depression survival plans. I'm wondering if an agency this large has something like that. What if all of that federal funding was pulled rapidly, or you had uncertainty for over a year? What would the organization do?
So, like, it really, a lot of our funding comes from different sources of the federal government. So, like, it really is dependent upon what. Like, if you're talking every single dollar within, like, from the federal government, we have about $5 million of federal revenue that comes in for our 24 year. This represents about 16.67% of our budget. The majority of that, about $3 million of that five, is actually direct things to the student, whether it's work study, Pell Grants, or some of those. So that's the majority of it. Other ones include, like, TRIO and some of the flow through funds from the state. We've had conversations about each of the different areas of, like, what we would do in contingency plans for each department, depending upon what would go away. The one that is, like, I guess the hardest plan, and that's just my opinion, not the whole thing, is when you really, like, when the early talks were having a Pell Grant and those student direct funding mechanisms, that was the scariest thing. But even some of these things that would affect the colleges that aren't directly tied to us is, like, these departments of administering the money as well, like, because they actually, like, the Department of Education or whatever department you're talking about, energy or whoever, like, has to have the employees to administer the grants. So that's a lot of the other issues, like, and strain we're seeing right now is the response times, contract times, like, for all these contracts are increasing. And it's not only us. It's the same as the not-for-profits I serve on and all those other ones are finding the same issues, whether it's HUD or Department of Energy or whomever.
And if I could add just one thing, you know, as Michael said, the bulk of our federal aid is direct student investments, and the bulk of that is the Pell Grant. So while the Federal Supplemental Education Grant, which is FSEOG, appears to be on the chopping block, or there's some conversation on federal work study, for us, both of those are very they are significantly smaller components of the direct student aid, and there seems to be, while there's conversation on perhaps reducing the amount of a maximum Pell Grant, there does not seem to be any bipartisan appetite to eliminate the Pell Grant program. The other aspect, federal student loans, there have been some changes or proposed talk about that. Very few of our students, because we are such a low-cost, high-value provider, very few of our students exercise their right to the student loans proportionately.
Thank you very
much. So I was curious about some of the programs that you provide and offer to the nine school districts, and whether or not in the budget presentation there is consideration about increasing offerings around that to or for the school districts.
So we are always in conversations with our partners in the school districts and having conversations about the courses. The big challenge with the dual enrollment and collegian is making sure that the faculty at the high school meet the New York State Department of Education requirements for the adjunct and accreditation. But I think there's a lot of great energy around it. I was at Marlborough, I think, 2 weeks ago now, and we had...
When? That was not planned.
It was not. It was not.
Because I know that there was a question regarding the science offer and the opportunities, and I see the school district, if they can't make the connection to SUNY, is starting to look towards either going to Marist or Mount St. Mary, and I look at those as missed opportunities.
Yeah, and the privates don't have the same state requirements that we do, which is challenging, but I think there's greater attention and making sure that stays level. But I had a meeting at Marlborough that happened just after our science faculty were there and talking about ways that we could try thinking about maybe even training and looking at expansion, and are there ways where the college could be teaching courses, especially in those corners of the county. In the high school, you know, I gave the example when I taught at the Community College of Philadelphia, I taught every semester at a high school way up in the northern suburbs, not in the city. I lived in the city, but I went in the evenings and that was my spot. There were like 3 faculty members and we taught there. It was great. I loved it. I still miss it. And so really thinking about also how do we ensure that we are out and making it easier for those in the community can reach us, high school students, but also their parents. So, yeah, we know it's an issue, and I want to make sure that we keep the privates out.
they're trying their way in quickly, unless there's, I think, more attention there. So I think just with budgeting purposes, like really thinking about, like, what those expansions can be, because I also think it's a great opportunity to keep students from the county staying in the county to get their, a 2-year degree that then they can transfer to.
Well, and I think if we can reach that tipping point where students, like in Marlborough, so many students complete high school with 30 credits in the bag, and that's really the tipping point to do 1 year at Ulster, transfer in SUNY, and get those gen eds, that it's not, if I say the whack-a-mole, like a smattering of education, that it is a coherent package. It's a tremendous value for families. So that's a core component. I talk a lot, and when people ask us about enrollment, there's huge potential in the county. You know, we have 68,000 residents who are over the age of 25 without a post-secondary credential. And I view it as our job to reach them all and to get them into good jobs with family-sustaining wages. But the other side of that is we have an obligation and that value to the high school students. So it's like two ends. It's the challenge and the beauty of community college. We do it all. And so making sure that we're balancing those two.
And the other question, with the increased enrollment, you mentioned the SNAP ENT, but are you seeing other programs that are seeing driving up enrollment, like for gymnastics?
So, one of the biggest things we see most of our students, we're seeing more and more students are part-time, because if you're 18 or if you're 30, you have you're working in other demands. So, a part-time student costs as much for us to support, sometimes even more as a full-time student. So we are seeing huge demand in advising, and some of those new positions in the budget are providing the academic advising and that real scaffolding of student success. So we're seeing huge demand in the wraparound supports and those pieces that we need. As far as programmatically, we've got a lot of exciting work that's happening in four programs. So we did just receive, I'm gonna get it wrong, so I'm gonna make sure I get the, we received a SUNY grant where it's, building performance contractors. So we're going to be sending 150 of those students through the Kingston Center in a grant. So we're seeing kind of transfer is still huge. Our manufacturing program, which if 3 community college comes through, will be there. The Allied Health programs will always have huge demand in vet tech, but we're at capacity. So for us to really grow those, we need to bring in enough faculty to bring on a whole new cohort. So there isn't kind of that measured incremental growth. It's got to be all or nothing. So the costs go up.
Thank you. I would love to know a little bit more about the new hires that you had in the presentation. You said that there were 13 new hires. How many of them were faculty? And were they full-time tenure track faculty or adjuncts?
No, there's five faculty positions that are brand new. So there is one decrease in faculty. So net faculty is four, but that was at the request of that particular department.
Mm-hmm.
So there's five new tenure track faculty positions. The remaining positions, and like we kind of viewed this as differently, depending upon how you looked at it, we had one CSEA position increase in plan ops, 4.5 in OPAP, which is our professional union, and then 3.5 in management. But some of those management ones were upgrades for some of the OPAP positions in order to get them to stay with the college as well, because the salaries is a lot of times an issue. So those are the 13 new positions that we had. Adjuncts, like for us, are counted as a contracted labor, so they're not included in the headcount piece of it.
And I think for the faculty positions, it's an additional math position, an additional psychology.
Nursing. English and another networking. So we're increasing our networking from 1 to 2.
Great. So. Any other questions from the committee? Great. Well, thank you so much for the presentation.
Yeah.
Hopefully you feel better soon.
Oh, I don't feel
bad. I know. That's always the way it goes.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Next on the agenda is resolution number 203, approving the execution of a contract for $80,000 entered into by the County United Way of Ulster County, Inc., Office of Employment and Training. This is for payroll services for the Brighter Futures Initiative Youth Program from July 1 through December 31, 26. Would you like to add anything? Would you like to give us an update? Would you like to say anything?
Would you like me to?
Nah.
I'm not sure what type of update you would like. So just for this particular, Brighter Futures has been a part of all of our contracts with United Way for payroll services. As you know, they are the ones who provide our youth services employment checks. They are counted as the employer of record, and they do all of our services for us. This is an increase into funding available for the BFI participants to carry them through the end of this calendar year in their employment services. So we're hoping to add a few more BFI students to their employment roles. It's sort of separate and above all of the other youth employment programs, so YEP, SYEP, which we're gearing up fast and furious right now.
Any discussion or questions amongst the committee members?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Great to see you. All right, next is resolution number 204. Authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute a contract with the New York State Housing Trust Fund Corporation, represented by the Office of Community Renewal, for federal funding for the implementation of the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, and amending the 2025 Ulster County Budget, Department of Economic Development. This authorizes the county exec to execute agreement with the New York State Housing Trust Fund Corp for $300,000 funding under the New York State CDBG Business Expansion and Startup, also known as BEST, program to assist in establishment of the Entrepreneur Employee Grant Program. Do you have any please like to add?
We're here in December. Did approve that we make an application to the state. The application was approved. It was a successful application, which we're very proud of. This presents the county entrepreneur grant program. Mm-hmm. It's going to be targeted to businesses with 5 or fewer employees. It's also heavily weighted towards LMI communities. If you are a business that's in LMI or you're going to be hiring an LMI individual. Also, 50% of the funding is going to be targeted to startups. One component of this program that's really important is that all the applicants, when they are, have to complete business training program, which is conducted by SBCDC, right? And they have to be, have to receive a certificate in proving. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important component because this will build not only business enterprise, but give them the capability to produce business plans, but also understand financial management as relationships. We think this program is going to be foundational in order for us to build our additional funding with this thing, but we're excited about it. So.
Great. Any questions from the committee?
I'll make a motion for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Resolution number 205, amending the 2025 Ulster County budget for 2024 rollover grant expenses, Department of Tourism. This resolution rolls over $59,400 in state aid from 2024. It's the, this is for the accessibility promotion campaign from last summer / fall, and it's a medium giant contract for $248,275, which was adopted in February 25, which had a term date from July 1 through September 30th, 25.
That was a great recap.
That's okay.
Exactly right. I feel like we've been revisiting it.
Yeah.
But yes, so we had gotten direction from ESD that because our ad agency had gone through a regular procurement, it was no problem. We could just, and we couldn't, so we needed to amend our budget. This will allow us to go back and get that and spend the total amount that was awarded under the grant. It was spent in 2024.
Gotcha.
That's what this is.
So it was already spent, and now
we're... Well, you know, we would be, like, for whatever that amount is short. Like, we wouldn't...
$59,000?
Yeah, if we did, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm...
Kind of.
All right.
I'm curious as to how, so it's already been spent. We're going back to
we want to pay them for what they did.
Medium giant. Right.
Right. And because they did, because we didn't have the proper direction. So we want to get, and we want to spend the entire amount of the grant.
Mm-hmm.
So, this allows us to do both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. And just also curious about, because I know you talked about this before as like a new campaign.
Yeah.
So when is that campaign going to drop?
I can show you guys that as we put everything on hold, waiting for clarity from ESD regarding federal money, because this is actually federal money that is passed to ESD.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Canandaigua 2 weeks ago. The ESD was there, and they said that we could go ahead and spend the money. So at this point, creative that was created, we're ready to go. We're ready to push people to a website, like a micro landing page that we've done. We have blogs all written. And in fact, the Nature Bus, which is fully accessible, everybody, in case you didn't know it, there's a liftgate there. You know, is actually, you know, something that's going to be worked into this summer's campaign.
Great.
Yeah. So.
Any other questions from the committee?
We'll move for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay.
Resolution number 206, approving the execution of a contract for $50,720 entered into by the county, Offset House, Inc., DBA, Catamount Color, Department of Tourism. This is the contract with Offset House for printing and distribution of the travel guide from May 1 through April 30th, 26. And then we have there's other little contracts with other distributors.
Yes, we distribute to other people, but
that's separate.
It's separate. He drops off.
Gotcha.
So what he does is he prints, and then he drops it off to the other places that we need it done. So this is we went out to RFP for printing services this year. It meets all of the county's purchasing requirements as far as paper and ink and all, recyclability and all of that. And the winning bid is this Catamount Color, and they did it previously. They came in this year at almost $12,000 less than our last RFP. I do not know how they did it.
Wow, interesting.
Yes, I have no idea how they did it.
Is this the same vendor as the printing?
This is the print vendor. This is the print vendor. Catamount. So they're the people that are in Vermont. Vermont.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we looked into.
Okay. Yeah.
And they do distribution also.
They drive it to where, like, I've got, you know, pallets that need to be dropped off at certain places. They do it.
Cool.
Distribution and delivery.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. Resolution number 207, approving the execution of a contract for $80,000 entered into by the County Artsmith Hudson, Inc. and Legislature. This is a contract with Artsmith Hudson for facilitation of the Cultural Services and Promotion Fund to maintain and promote the artistic and cultural assets of Ulster County. And it runs from January 1, 25 through December 31,
25.
Questions from the committee?
Yes.
Was this like an RFP that was put out and they won it? Or, because I know we do appropriate them money because they're a non-for-profit, and we do that through the budget cycle. But is this outside of what the budget cycle is, or was this put out through an RFP and this is a contract that they won, or how did they wind up with this?
I can make a guess.
Go ahead.
I think Artsmith Hudson receives NISCA funding, New York State Council on the Arts, and this is a pass-through of state funding.
And how come it says 100% county funded?
Probably because the state gives us the money and then we fund it to Artsmith Hudson.
Yeah, but usually when we get money from the state, we put on
the amounts
passed through. It would be state funded.
Yeah.
This says 100% county funded.
Do we have a deputy executive who would handle this arts funding?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Kurt Muller, please.
This was put in at the request of the chair. You've been funding Artsmith Hudson out of that $919,000 allocation that Ways and Means determines in May. So they made that determination in May.
So it's in the budget.
It was in that chunk that you also allocated funds for CCE libraries and soil and water out of. Artsmith Hudson came out of that. And then the policy that you all made was the balance of the money from the 919 that you did not allocate towards CCE, soil and water, and libraries went to arts initiatives, and you've been funding Artsmith Hudson at this rate out of that. My understanding is this contract will, during this year's budget discussions, become one of the executive contracts, like all the other ones that you did a few years ago, UPAC, the court-appointed special advocate, CASA, a couple other ones that used to be the Legislative Programs Committee allocations, all of those were shifted towards the executive side, and they were incorporating those funds into their budget and the contracts from their side of the office. So this is probably the last year you're going to see this one.
So all of that to get to the short answer of yes, it's in our budget cycle from this past year.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the request of the chair.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is not new. This is coming out of that funding that we appropriated in our budget.
Yeah.
So this is part of the budget, not something extra.
Nope.
Yes.
Okay. So then it is 100% county money then.
Yes.
It's out of our appropriation. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Great.
Any questions?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And those things.
You have to abstain.
You can keep asking. Opposed?
For what reason?
Abstain for work purposes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For the purposes of?
Employment.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Resolution number 210, supporting the lower ASOPA stream management plan and urging those state and federal agencies that provides funding for water quality and recreational resources to recognize the stream management plan Department of Planning. This is a memorializing resolution submitted at the request of the county executive on behalf of the Department of Planning, supporting the lower ASOPA stream management plan and urging state and federal agencies that provide funding for water quality and recreational resources recognize the plan, the implementation projects contained in it, and the efforts associated with its development in their decisions regarding funding requests and technical assistance made in accordance with the plan.
It is what it's, I mean.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Any discussion or questions?
I read the plan and the implementation plan, and there was a when Interfoods originally did the plan, they had enough staff to do a good job, and then a key player actually took on another job, and now we're doing another project with that same person. So their implementation plan isn't really based on local needs or local knowledge. Like, they want to implement an eroding bank that isn't a fine sediment source on DEP property.
Mm.
And DEP is not going to allow that. So, there were, I read through it, and there are areas that we should discuss an implementation plan and how realistic or that meets the needs. Like, one thing that's been I've been mentioning is the log jam in the city of Kingston by the plaza, by an Army Corps flood control structure that should be addressed.
Okay.
And we're also going to assist the town. We're assisting the town of Saugerties and the town of Marbleton with culvert replacements and stormwater retrofits.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll make the motion to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you so much. Next resolution is 215, approving the execution of a contract for $350,000 entered into by the County Community Foundations of Hudson Valley Department of Planning. This is a contract with Community Foundations of Hudson Valley to administer grant program for Ulster County Emergency Food Service providers from June 1, 2025 through December 31st, 2026. And pursuant to resolution number 92 adopted March 25, this is appropriating funding to support and strengthen the local food system and foster sustainability.
Is there any federal state money we're getting for this program?
I'm not sure.
So the legislature originally
put money into this type of program for food security relative to the ARPA funding.
Yeah.
And they followed up, the legislature followed up for this appropriation to amend the planning department budget. The original appropriation for ARPA was focused on infrastructure, whether it be transportation infrastructure, shelving, refrigeration units, other types of transportation. This is, according to the resolution that originally passed this, is going to focus on actual food and some of the operational problems that we saw in the original applications that we received. Given the most recent change with respect to funding available for food banks, this is probably going to be well oversubscribed when we start this process in terms of the food that's needed to make up for the federal shortfall in funding.
Gotta feed the children and the adults.
And the cutty.
Everybody needs food.
And the couch.
Okay, is there any questions? Any other questions? Is there a motion to
make a motion?
To a dispute. So, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
There's one abstention.
For work purposes of employment.
Thank you. All right, resolution number 216, scheduling a policy hearing as required under Article 25AA of the Agriculture and Markets Law on the additions of lands to agricultural districts and providing direct notice to affected municipalities, Department of Planning. Application period ended March 30th, 2025. And I just wanted to ask Dennis to remind the committee about the process for the timeline for applying.
The legislature voted to essentially, there's an under the New York State Ag Law, there's an annual addition period that lasts for 30 days. Many years ago, the legislature established that period to run from March 1st to March 30th. Those applications come into the planning board. We then pass them to the chair. The chair then passes them back to the Farmland Protection Board. They meet and make a report, and those recommendations will come to the legislature after the public hearing. Then what ends up happening, the recommendations will come to the legislature, then you'll have the public hearing. The process then would be for the legislature to either recommend that those additions be adopted or so modified on the legislature's discretion. They then go to the Ag Commissioner, New York State Commission of Agriculture, who then either certifies the recommendations from the legislature or does not. It's their choice. Final approval does rest with the Commissioner.
Thank you.
I'll move for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's great.
If I just maybe add one thing.
Yes, please.
I think it's important to note that there's a lot of field work that's involved here. Soil Water Conservation District and Cornell Cooperative Extension go out and help us with that field work with respect to a member from the staff from the planning department. It's important to recognize that partnership.
They went to my farm. They saw everything.
Great.
It was very thorough. They didn't do me any favors.
How many people are on that committee? I forget.
It's set by law. The membership is set by law. I don't have it. I know that there's farmers on committee, mm-hmm. members of the county serve by title. Mm-hmm. Cornell serves by title. But the exact number, I don't know. I'd like to say 10, 10 to 12, something of that nature.
Gotcha.
But they're a really good group. They meet well. There's a lot of discussions about this. And there's a lot of participation from the farmers when on the ag additions as well.
That's right. Is Christian still serving on it?
Yep.
Wonderful. Okay, any anything?
We do this one.
Oh, we already voted.
Oh, yeah. We did?
6-0.
We voted.
We have to do 217.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tempra.
You're welcome.
The legislator from Gardner. The good legislator from Gardner.
The honorable good.
All right, number 217, reappointing members to the Soil and Water Conservation District Board. reappointing legislators Litz and Nolan through December 31st, 2025, Leonard Tantillo, Farm Bureau Rep, through December 31, 2027, and the Honorable James DeLon, Member at Large, through December 31, 2027. Did anybody do a security check of any of these individuals?
Obviously not.
Obviously not. You have to submit references.
I bring two cows.
Okay.
I'll make a motion for adoption.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Please recognize that Legislator Hewitt is not present. Shall he return? I will be sure to ask if he would like to record his vote. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have some new business. Okay, we have the Ulster County Soil and Water 2025 Soil Health Field Day, Thursday, May 22nd, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Please mark your calendar. Jake has flyers. Yes, please. Legislator Hewitt, would you like to record your vote for resolution number 217?
Yes, I am a yes.
You're welcome.
We also have an upcoming event with the IDA. It's the IDA Annual Economic Development Committee event, Thursday, June 5th from 5 to 7:30 at the Hudson House on Route 9W West Park.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
This is a very exciting event for us. We've pretty much quadrupled our soil health program, and a lot of it has to do with the ARPA funds, as well as us getting awarded the Climate Resilient Farming Grant that paid for half the equipment. I want to thank the legislature, Herb and Kathy, for supporting us. And when we get new equipment, we like to demo it to show the farmers how it works. Last year, I was surprised. We had over 30 people. It is $10 per person, but for the legislators, that's free charge. We'll see you there.
Thank you.
Great.
What road is the $1 million farm on?
Springtown Road.
Yeah, Springtown Road.
Mm-hmm. We also have the Cornell Cooperative Extension Ag Tour for elected officials, which will be slated for Tuesday, July 8th. However, July 9th will be the rain date. And we also have the Ulster County Fair Tuesday, July 29th through Sunday, August 3rd. And we have Melanie here. Should she want to chime in? And
can I say one more thing? Cornell's really helped us with promoting this event and
that's great.
Partnered with them. It's been a great help. Catherine, two thumbs up.
Absolutely. Two thumbs up. Way up.
Yes, thumbs up. She knows her craft for sure. Way enters with help. It was a really important year for us to make sure we're getting you all in the dirt a lot, I guess, this year. It's what it looks like. But it was important you increased your allocation to us in large part to help us to pay for our share to Eastern New York, Cornell's regional team. So we thought it was important to kind of highlight the work we do, the work they do, help you to better understand that. So we'll be getting on most likely a cut flower farm, a livestock farm. That's some of the things we do locally with CCE Ulster. And then CCE Eastern New York is going to do probably if they use some other farms with research trials, et cetera. So we'll get you all on the bus together. We're thinking this is going to be sort of an afternoon to like a 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. sort of adventure, mainly on 209. We were like, probably don't take you over the mountains and get everybody nauseous on the bus together because we want that kind of memorable experience. But I hope you will all join us, and I'll reach out. I'm going to hopefully do some coordination around if there's buses you can work with the county to provide for our elected officials.
We have an ag bus.
Yeah, we love that.
It's nature.
We should do that.
And Ulster County Fair, as always, on Wednesday we will be doing, so Wednesday the 30th, we will be doing a tour for you all to understand the investment you make in our 4-H youth and the many, many rewards that you get from that investment in the youth building and the animal barns, which precedes the elected official tour And the milkshakes, of course.
You should always lead with the milkshake.
And all milkshake requests. And
mint chip, it's the way to go.
Definitely, 100%. So you should be looking for invites for both of those, just to get a head count, but it's always to talk it up too, and I hope you'll be able to try those.
Great. Amanda, do you want to say something?
I wanted to just kind of make some comments regard to the SUNY Ulster budget presentation. That process with the SUNY Ulster budget also requires that it's a little bit difficult because of the timing, but it also does have to be included in the executive's budget presentation for 2026 and preparation for that. The county executive is somewhat concerned regarding the request for increase of the maintenance of effort, especially in a time when there's some uncertainty around the county's federal funding and the fact that the budget as presented also does still include quite a help as presented at this time. We're still staff is putting staff from SUNY Ulster to get us more details so that we can do a more thorough kind of review of the budget, but wanted to let you know that there were those concerns from the executive.
Also, they've been communicated with Legislator Gavaris, and he's had a conversation with both the executive and the community college.
We do have a healthy fund balance, and why not invest it?
They also have a healthy fund balance. So that's something for them to be considering. Okay. You have a new business?
Yeah. I brought up a depression survival plan earlier, and it was difficult for a department head to answer that question because none of us know what happens during a depression. We haven't experienced it. But we saw what happened in 2020 when a major recession hit so quickly that people who are great at budgeting didn't know how to budget. So I feel that this is the committee that can start a conversation around depression because nobody wants to talk about it. I'm in economics, as you guys know, and before 2020, I used to bring up the word recession to people, and it made people really nervous to talk about it. 2020 hit, and everyone was comfortable talking about recession. I feel right now we have to get comfortable talking about depression so that committees like ours can make a plan, not when federal dollars get cut, but when the dollar becomes less valuable. Mm-hmm. That's my concern. So I don't know if this committee is the right place to discuss it or if it's just a group of legislators, but I want to start the conversation. And maybe we call it something different than depression, because when I was a kid, I thought everyone was depressed for 5 years. So maybe it's a different word.
Don't worry, I'm printing a bunch of these out.
Good. You got some money. Yeah, I want to start a conversation. Maybe it's between legislators, but I'll keep it in our minds.
Great. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
Old business IDA financial reports.
They were promised and have been delivered and available in your OneDrive.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Thank you.
So I have me.
I appreciate you. I would like the record to show that I appreciate Deputy Clerk Mahler.
Second.
Favor of appreciation.
Thank you.
Okay, is there a motion for adjournment?
Yes, there is a motion for adjournment.
Oh, wonderful. Is there a second?
Seven.
Is there all in favor?
Aye.
Have a nice life.